Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Welcome again to How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we welcome Sebastian Altilio from Cross Country Mortgage to talk about lending, mortgages, and interest rates. Stay tuned for Bob.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
And now, once again, as always, here's our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe. And as always, we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyear, Bayer, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason mentioned, we have Sebastian Altilio on tonight to talk about a very important topic in October of 2022, and that's getting mortgages in this environment of ever-rising mortgage rates and how first-time home buyers, people who are refining, people who are buying second and third homes are going to be able to face their market. They have a couple good strategies, and Sebastian is going to share those with us. Well, welcome to our show, Sebastian.
Hey, Robert. Thank you for having me.
Great, great, great. We'd love to have you. We loved chatting with you a couple weeks ago and invited you on the show, because you, you know, we had a fascinating conversation of how to weather this storm of high prices, high inflation, high interest rates, and how people can still, you know, achieve their home, their dream of home ownership, even in these difficult times. Why don't you begin by telling us a little about yourself and a little about Cross Country Mortgage until we get into the various strategies of what, you know, borrowers should be thinking about today.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I've been in the real estate space for about 6 years now. I have started my career in real estate at Marcus & Millichap, where I worked on the sales side, selling apartment buildings, mixed-use properties, development sites, And I focus most of my attention in Northwest Brooklyn. So from Carroll Gardens, Park Slope area, all the way up to Brooklyn Heights and anything in between. Spent about 4 years there, you know, learning the ins and outs of the commercial side of real estate. And then I made the transition about 2 years ago to the lending side, where I specialize in residential mortgages and commercial mortgages as well. As far as cross-country mortgage is concerned, we're a national mortgage bank. We only do, you know, residential mortgages for 1 to 4 family properties. This is, you know, our bread and butter. You know, we're not the Bank of America, Chase, where they have their hands, you know, in checking, savings, auto loans, a number of different things. This is our primary focus, and all we do is mortgages. We do about, I'd say, anywhere around, you know, $2 to $2.5 billion a month in loan originations. Have about 1,000 branches spanning across the country. And we're direct lenders and direct funders and servicers, excuse me, of FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae loans. So what does that mean? Basically just means that not only do we fund them, but 8 out of every 10 loans that we fund, we keep in our portfolio and we service for the duration of the loan. So we don't have any additional overlays that other banks may have in their underwriting guidelines. We underwrite strictly to the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA regulations. So if it fits their guidelines in their box, it's doable for us.
Wow, that's very impressive. And the fact that Cross Country is a nationwide, a very large lender in that area is really important for the majority of our listeners who are interested in getting into either their first home, 1 to 4s, or moving up, getting a little bigger, or getting a little smaller as their life progresses. Well, this must be kind of a crazy season for you, a few rough waters and headwinds with rates and inflation and politics and now natural disasters and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So you know, when we met last week, I told you that Jason and myself always joked about we had done a radio show for about 10 years. And throughout the 10 years, the rates were always in the 2 or 3 or 4 range. And once a year, there'd be some story that rates are going to go up. You know, you better do something. Hold on to your hats. And we did that for about 10 years, and you know what? After 10 years, the rates were still 2, 3, 4 now. And now it seems like every month the rates are going up from 3 to 4 to 4 to 5 to 5 to 6, and some people are talking about 7. So, boy, have times changed. What are you seeing about, what are your thoughts on, you know, where the rates were, where they are now, and where they're going?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been a very rocky year. You know, we started the beginning of the year, I think January 1, we were somewhere in the 3.25% range. And then by April, you know, in the 4.5% range. And, you know, now rates are hovering, you know, 7% up or down, depending on, of course, you know, credit profiles, loan to value, and, you know, different intricacies regarding, you know, each individual file, right? So, you know, we're in a much, much different environment than we were just 6 months ago. And, you know, for people out there who, you know, there are a lot of borrowers that I've been working with, even from going back to summer 2021, that still haven't found, you know, a home for their family. And at the time when rates were in the low 3s and, you know, people wanted to, you know, make a move, you know, and capitalize on really, you know, cheap debt. The unfortunate part about low debt is rising housing prices, right? When debt is cheap, you know, prices tend to go up and vice versa, right? So at that time, you know, in the market we were in last summer going into the end of the year, there were constant bidding wars. I mean, every single home that was listed on Zillow was either selling for, you know, at ask or above ask. So it was pricing a lot of people out in that regard who were just getting outbidded. And now, you know, we're in a situation where these same, you know, individuals are now capable of buying less home, if that makes sense, right? If you were taking a $500,000 mortgage back in April at 4.5%, and now that same $500,000 mortgage, you know, same $500,000 that you're borrowing from the bank is now costing you, you know, between $500 and $700 more per month. It's a lot more challenging, especially when you bring up other great points regarding inflation, right? You know, the bank takes into consideration certain aspects of people's lives, right? What kind of liabilities come up on their credit report? You know, you have student loan debt, you have a car payment that you make, things like that, but they don't factor in, you know, whether you have kids in private education, you know, how much your groceries are each month and how that's changed, you know, over the last couple of months with, you know, consumer goods going up, you know, how often you fill up your gas tank each week, you know, with gas prices the way they are. So not only has the buyer today lost the ability to purchase more home, but then you factor in all these other aspects of their everyday life that have become way more expensive, and it's become very challenging. And I think the problem that, you know, most real estate agents or industry professionals will tell you about what's going on in the market is not so much the high rates, but it's how quickly things have jumped to the point where the housing market hasn't corrected itself yet. You know, you still have sellers out there who are, oh, well, my neighbor got $750 for their home last month, and those are what the comps are saying, but it's not registering to them that last month rates were at 5.5% and now we're at 6.75%. So that change in borrowing power right there just should, you know, right off the bat tell you, hey, my house is not as worth as much as it was a month ago, 2 months ago, 6 months ago. And unfortunately, it's not registering, you know, as quickly as we need it to for homes to move.
You know, you made a very interesting point. It's just not the rate, but it's the other expenses that's all, you know, it's not just the rate that's sucking money out of your pocket. It's the other costs of gas, eggs, and food and utilities that are also sucking out money at the same time and at the same rate, if not more. And that gives you a lot less buying power.
Absolutely.
The average home buyer or borrower really doesn't think of that initially. All they think is rate. But they're not thinking, wow, you know, when I leave here, I get to get the car filled up with gas, and that's going to be $100, and then I got to buy groceries, et cetera. Yeah, go on.
Absolutely. No, I was going to say, Robert, the other thing, too, is I think, you know, with rates as high as they are, that, like, it's that sticker price shock that people are getting, because what's funny and what I've noticed about the psychology of, you know, buying a home or going through this process is, you know, somebody submits an application to me, they fill out all their information, they send me their income docs to verify their income and all the necessary paperwork that we need. And, you know, when it's time to issue them a pre-approval letter and go over, you know, what they qualify for, what I've noticed, and even before rates even rose, is, you know, you'll look at an application and say, okay, you qualify for a home based on your down payment. You qualify for a home, let's say $700,000. And they're like, okay, great. You know, we'll start shopping. And then what happens is they find a home. We go over, you know, what that mortgage payment looks like with the insurance, with the taxes built into that property. And then they go, whoa, that's more than I expected, you know. So what I started doing, even as, you know, as far back as 18 months ago, is before I even go over what they are approved for, once I have all their paperwork, I discuss, hey, what are you looking to spend each month all in on your mortgage payment? And a lot of times there's, you know, it's drastically different from what they, you know, what they are pre-approved for. You know, they want to live a little bit, you know, below their means because of some of these other things that they have going on in their lives. And, you know, people still want to enjoy life, right? You don't want to just live to pay your bills. You want to have disposable income. So, you know, even though you qualify for a $3,000 mortgage, maybe you're better off spending $2,500 and, you know, having that disposable income. But, you know, the problem of, you know, what's been going on over the last, you know, few months is that it seems like every time rates go up, the dust sort of settles. People get comfortable and then they just jump up again. So that's been the disconnect there. But what's funny is I'll go over a monthly payment with somebody and go over their application and they're like, okay, great. That sounds fine. You know, $3,000 a month with taxes, insurance, everything included. That sounds great. By the way, what's my rate that you're using? And I always, you know, when I'm pricing out a mortgage, In the beginning stages, obviously I go off of what the rates are today. In this market, I've been actually kind of using higher rates, you know, anticipating that by the time they find the property, by the time they get locked in, you know, negotiate a contract, have a closing date, and we're ready to lock a loan. If I'm thinking, you know, 60 days ahead, 90 days ahead, where are rates going to be there, right? So that's what I try to keep in mind as well. But the funny thing is when you tell people what their monthly payment is, they're totally cool with it. And then when they ask what the rate is and you tell them what that rate is for that particular day and where things are pricing, that's when they go nuts about it. And I tend to laugh to myself because it's, I don't know why people are so concerned with that interest rate when their monthly payment is so doable and they're capable of making it. So if I told you it was 3% versus 7%, but the monthly payment is fine, you know, it really shouldn't make a difference there, you know, for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that rate is more important than the monthly payment. But I guess, you know, when you're at a party, you're talking with your friends, and they go, oh, I just got a 4%, I just got a 5%. You know,
right.
They're not saying their monthly payment. So that's sort of like
course.
The badge of honor that they can say, oh, I got a 5% when it was 6%. You know,
absolutely.
But yeah, that's interesting that, you know, that they're happy with $2,500 a month, but when you say it's 6%, they're like, what? You know?
Right.
So, and the other thing,
and I'm sure.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm sure it's a term that you know has been used by every mortgage banker in the industry over the last couple of months. It's, you know, marry the house and date the rate, because the rate is always something, you know, you can refinance. So if you're comfortable with the payment and buying a home for your family or getting yourself established and starting to build some equity in a piece of real estate is important to you now, you know, just get comfortable, be comfortable with the monthly payment, knowing that, you know, a couple years down the line, which everybody's anticipating happening, you know, 24 to 36 months from now, the trend to start happening, you know, in the backwards direction of interest rates coming back down to, you know, hopefully the fours, if not, you know, the high threes again.
So a couple of points before we get to the your strategy, which you touched on just now, is you seem to take a holistic approach to mortgage lending when you ask the client, well, how much do you want to spend? And how much can you spend? You know, that takes in a lot of things, and it makes them realize that, hey, if I spend too much, I don't have money to go out for dinner, movies, different car payment, et cetera. So you ask them the bigger question of how much can they afford or how much do they want to spend, and that's pretty clever. The other
yeah, sure.
point you made was quoting a little higher interest rate because of the delay between contract and closing, which could be 3 to 4 months sometimes, and things could, as we see, they're jumping month by month now. So if you quoted somebody 3 months earlier at 5 and now it's 7, they are not going to be a happy person when it comes down to,
right.
you know.
Absolutely. And, it, you know, that's on a file-by-file basis, right? And it all – my whole outlook on that system and just making sure it really comes down to making sure that person in 3 or 4 months from now is still going to be qualified, right? Because it all comes down to the debt-to-income ratio. On a conventional loan, you know, for people out there, if they're not familiar with what a debt-to-income ratio is, it's as simple as it sounds. It basically compares – your mortgage payment to your gross income, and then your mortgage payment plus any other reoccurring debts like a car payment, a student loan payment, a revolving credit card bill, whatever the case may be, that comes up on a monthly obligation, taking that into consideration and how that compares to your income as well. So for a conventional loan, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, on that back end number, taking into consideration your total debts, will allow you to go up to 50%. So if you have somebody that's, you know, I hate to use the term buying a home through the skin of their teeth, but if you get a file and they're looking at a house for $700,000 and, you know, their debt-to-income ratio is in the upwards of, you know, 47, 48%, and it's very tight there, and you know a difference in, you know, if they look at a house that has property taxes that are a little bit more than expected, or if they get quoted on a homeowner's insurance quote that's a little more than expected, that can be the difference maker of whether they're still qualified for that same purchase price. same goes with, you know, with how quickly rates have risen, right? If you, you know, I have people that I have to update their pre-approval letter on a monthly basis because their debt-to-income ratios are so high, and if rates move just, you know, the slightest bit, that change in monthly payment for them on principal and interest, you know, whether it's 20, 30, 40 bucks a month, might, again, make the difference of being under or below or above that 50% threshold. So if I see debt to income is super tight, I try to anticipate, hey, we might be in this type of interest rate environment. Let's price this out with that number in mind to make sure the numbers still work. But if they have a lower and there's plenty of space, plenty of room in their debt to income ratio, then, you know, I'll go over numbers, you know, based on the current market.
Yeah. So are you seeing this problem now where people are coming back to you and they're no longer qualified, even though they were a couple months ago? Is that becoming an issue?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's like I said, it's the people who were a little tighter as far as income was concerned. With,
sure.
You know, the rise that we've seen, it obviously changes their borrowing power. So we've had a lower pre-approvals where, you know, for certain people, they're just not qualified anymore to begin with. And then, you know, also factoring in, you know, like we were saying, as far as, you know, the cost of, you know, what's the other things that inflation have kind of presented, which, you know, a lot of people don't talk about right now, is a lot of people's credit, without them even knowing, has kind of, you know, tanked a little bit, even if it's, you know, 10, 15 points.
Sure.
And they could be paying their bills all the same, but, you know, with what's going on with credit, right, when you see inflation start to rise, credit limits, you know, for instance, for me, I got a notice in the mail that I, you know, one of my credit cards, they were cutting my limit. I never had a late payment. I don't even keep a balance. I pay whatever the monthly balance is, you know, for that month. I don't, you know, make a minimum payment. I haven't done that, you know, since I've had this credit card for 10 years. And I got a notice that they were lowering my limit. Because what's happening is, you know, like you just said, the cost of consumer goods, you have a family of four, family of five, and you're going to the grocery store for the same products. And now that's costing you $300-$400 more. And, you know, throughout this country, there are a lot of people, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, right? So now what starts to happen is these everyday essentials you start to put on your credit card. And credit, you know, these credit bureaus understand that, these people who issue credit understand that. And what they do is they start to cut people's limits. So now if you were, you know, just making your everyday payments just like normal and your credit score was 650, let's say you had a $30,000 balance on your credit card and you kept you had a $30,000 limit on your credit card, and let's say you kept a $3,000 balance. Now if they cut that limit, that credit limit to $20,000, now that $3,000 balance is a lot more as far as debt to credit limit ratio is concerned, right? So that's going to drop your credit score. So that's been another, you know, another problem to overcome as well. It's not just the income side, but now people who are qualifying or barely qualifying, or we're in a specific bracket as far as credit score is concerned, now they're in a lower bracket, and that changes pricing and interest rates and terms. It's just been, you know, it's all these different things taking into consideration have made it, you know, a lot more difficult to get things done.
We're getting hit from all sides. But fortunately, we bumped into you, and you're going to help some people who thought they may have been priced out of the market. You're coming up with strategies to allow them to get into the market given these higher interest rates. And talk a little bit about that, because that's the reason why we wanted you on to discuss the strategies of how to advise home buyers in this ever-rising interest rate period.
Absolutely, absolutely. So actually, since we last spoke, we've actually updated the product. When we first spoke, it was a 2-for-1 buy down. Now they changed it to a 3-2-1 buy down and added another year into that calculation. So basically, you know, what my company has rolled out is a temporary interest rate buy down program, which is kind of a win-win for both sides of the equation, right? The sellers can still capitalize on their high market on the high price that they want to sell for in today's market, and then buyers can still get into a property with where rates were, let's say, back in April, right? So the way the product works is, we have a contract, we're ready to, submit to processing, submit to underwriting, and get the ball rolling on the clear to close. Let's say when we're ready to lock in an interest rate, the rate's coming back at, let's just use a round number like 7%, which, like I said, is right around what the industry average is right now. Basically, what this buyer would be able to do is on the first 12 months of their mortgage payment, make a payment 3% less than the rate they locked in. So if they lock in at a 7% rate, the first year, they'll be making payments on that loan amount as if their rate was 4%. In year two, they're going to make payments on their loan amount as if their rate was 5%. Year three, 6%. And then in year four, it goes back to the original note rate that you had locked in. Now, at any point in this period of time, or even in the fourth year when it goes back, you're obviously eligible to refinance, right? So if rates do shoot back down, I think a lot of people, based on the analytics that I'm reading and seeing out there, it seems like a lot of people, which is why this product works, are banking on rates kind of trending back downwards and being, again, back in the, 4% range, mid 4% range, probably within the next 36 months. So this gives them the opportunity to make payments on that, low interest rate, and then, like I said, refinance into a fixed 30-year when rates come back down. And the way we're able to do this right now is through third-party contributions. It could be a lender credit. It could be, a real estate agent giving up part of their commission. Most commonly, what it's been so far has been through a seller concession. And if, anybody out there doesn't know what that is, typically in the past, seller concessions used to be used for, purposes if let's say a borrower had the money for a down payment but didn't have the $15,000 or $20,000 in closing costs. If the home appraised for a higher amount than what you were purchasing the home for, you could basically increase the loan amount, increase the purchase price, and the seller will issue you a credit at closing for that $15,000, and they'll just receive a higher purchase price. So it's basically like they're laying the money out for you, so they're not losing any money in the sale, and you're able to finance that over the course of 30 years rather than come out of pocket for it. So in this case, if the home appraises for a little bit more than what you're purchasing for, and usually the way it's been working out is if you have a $10,000 to $15,000, wiggle room there, what you could do is basically Cross Country Mortgage will hold that seller concession in an escrow account. And every month that you make the payment on that 4% interest rate, that 5% interest rate, that 6% interest rate, Cross Country will take out the difference from that escrow account, which will run its course over the three years until you're back to square one. Now, in that time frame, if you refinance, just like your escrow account with your taxes and your insurance in it, if you refinance, you get whatever is in that escrow account back to you, credited back to you.
Yeah, that's an interesting program and allows people to get into the market even though rates could be in the 6 or 7% right now. And hopefully it's going to go back down to, once the government gets control or the Federal Reserve or whoever gets control of the economy, brings it back to the earlier days of 2, 3, 4% interest rates and people can go back to, the normal rate. So is this buy-down product, are you seeing this as the majority of the type of loans you're doing now?
I wouldn't say it's the majority of the loans that we're doing now, but it's definitely helped, bridge that gap that we're seeing right now between buyers and sellers on a number of deals that we're working on here in-house. It's definitely, like I said, a good tool. And I think sellers, are starting to feel that, although maybe they don't want to budge on their price just yet, they are starting to feel that shift in negotiating power, right? I mean, you go back a few months ago, people were waiving inspections, waiving appraisals. They were waiving all sorts of stuff just to get, you know, just to get their foot in the door and have the ability to buy a home. And now I think you're starting to see more of that negotiating power come to, you know, come to the buyer side. And, you know, sellers, like I said, I think they're a little bit more open. You know, I think things are still appraising for higher values. So they're a little bit more open into getting creative on, you know, how they can achieve their price and getting their property finally sold, especially if, you know, something's been sitting there, you know, for a month or two and there's not much, you know, traction and there's not many offers coming in. Because like I said, most people have kind of pumped the brakes on the buy side right now. And it's kind of why you're starting to see inventory sit and people not really making a move because they're factoring in, like you just said, all their other, you know, costs and reevaluating their financial situation and, you know, trying to understand if borrowing that same money and purchasing that same house is worth $600 or $700 more. So this is bridging, has been able to, on a few deals that I'm working on, really been able to kind of bridge the gap and, you know, get deals to the finish line, which is, you know, what we're all hoping for.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation. I think very enlightening for our listeners and your listeners to know that there are ways to still get in the market despite the craziness that's going on and achieve their, you know, dream of home ownership. And you can help them get in there at, you know, monthly payments that are affordable with the hope that in a couple of years things will return to normal. They can refinance and get back on a track. I know myself, you know, I'm a homeowner for 40 years or so, but my first interest rate was 14%. I got it when other rates were 16%, so I thought, who was better than me? And then over the years, I've refinanced at 2 and 3%. So, you know, it is certainly, you know, within the realm of possibility for all of this come back to normal, hopefully, on, you know, throughout our country, things to kind of return to normal. Sebastian, where can people find you before we let you go? Where can they find you or more information about your company, buy downs, applications, and other types of loans that you can make for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can always reach me on my direct line at 646-296-9286. I work out of our Staten Island branch on Annandale Road, 847 Annandale Road. You can always stop into my office. I'm here 6 days a week. Saturdays are definitely a full working day for me now, especially in this market. You know, you could always send me an email. It's my first name, Sebastian, Sebastian, my last name, Altilio, Altilio, at mycc, that's Charles, mortgage.com.
Well, that's great. Well, Sebastian, this has been a fascinating half hour, very enlightening, and I think you gave people a lot of tips and hints on how to still get in the market while all this craziness is going on and still keep their sanity and still leave some money in their own wallets or pocketbooks.
Absolutely. I had a blast.
Good.
Thank you
look
so
forward
much
to
for
maybe talking
me.
About other topics in the future of predicaments. You know, the one topic that I've always, as an attorney, worry about is things that happen between commitment and closing. All
correct.
The vagaries
correct.
That either the banks or the borrowers or the sellers, the wild cards that they can throw into the mix to
absolutely, and there's a lot more hiccups coming up now between that period of time you just mentioned. You know, given the market that we're in, and like I say, with it's also on the other side of things. You know, guidelines are tightening up because of the environment we're in. So things are constantly changing. Hiccups are coming into play, and it's all about, you know, like I said, staying flexible, pivoting when you need to, and, you know, being creative. I'm blessed to be surrounded by a few different guys that have mentored me, who have been in the business for 20 plus years. So we got a great team here. So if you need anything, you know, it's all about, like I said, you know, understanding what a client's short-term and long-term goals are, getting an idea of who they are, what their plans are, you know, their family circumstances. It's not just numbers to me, you know, it's all about planning. And there are people that I've worked with, you know, over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months that, you know, I'm still working with, and sometimes they don't qualify, and it's understanding why you don't qualify and doing all the things and helping people put all the right pieces into place to one day get themselves in a position to own a home. So that's what I pride myself on.
good, good. Yeah, your creativity shows in our conversation. Well, thank you. We look forward to having you come back, and maybe we'll have a hiccup mortgage discussion on next time around.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. You have a great night.
Great. Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to our guest, Sebastian Altilio, for sharing his insights with us. This is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and Staten Island and all of its people, wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to...